Church, and welcome to Mission Sunday. Well, it's been a very busy start to the year, and it's been no different at Sapeo in Lesotho, where they have kicked off the year with so much growth and so much fruit. Enjoy this quick update from them.
Hey, friends and supporters. It's been another wonderful week at Sapeo. Across all of our programs, there is joy, there is healing, and there is connection. This week, we did health screenings for our kids, but also our caregivers. We had all the caregivers come in and we took them to the clinic for full health checkups. The reality is for many of them, they never prioritise their own care or their own health. And that can have impacts for the whole family and for the children that are involved in our programs. All the efforts that we take at Sapeo are to keep families together. It's to keep children connected and nurtured. And you might be surprised that one reason that all of our great work can fall apart is the health of a single caregiver. Friends, we can only do what we do with you. We are so glad to update you and let you know how you are being involved here in Lesotho. Thank you.
I just love seeing how these kids' lives are changing at Sapeo as they find identity and purpose for their lives and their futures. Church, thank you so much for your giving that allows us to support these kids at Sapeo, as well as so many lives here in Australia and across the world. Well, Church, our Cambodia missions trip was absolutely amazing. And I must tell you that the team represented You Emerge Church so incredibly well. The team will be sharing tonight at our PM service at our Warner location, so make an effort to be there. We had a girl come up to one of our members after the Sunday service and say, you know, you guys just keep coming back. Most don't. Visiting the drug rehab and just our presence was enough for them that we were there. We saw salvations, baptisms, healings. So make sure that you are there tonight to hear the testimonies from the team themselves. It will be encouraging and it will be so faith-building for you. So I hope to see you there. Don't forget that your missions rep will be around after the service to talk about anything missions. Please continue to pray for all our missionary families and our programs and projects that we are involved in through Emerge Missions. Pray about someone to bless this week, and I will see you for our next Mission Sunday. Thanks, Church.
Well, thanks for coming out tonight, guys. So good to see you all. Excellent. Well, the team are going to come up and get set up while I share with you right now, but they were just fantastic. They represented Emerge Church so well in Cambodia. They were awesome. It was a team of unity, and the Cambodians were so blessed by the team. So they're going to be sharing about their testimonies shortly. But as you guys know, one of the things that we were going over to Cambodia to do was to hand out 100 bikes to kids who couldn't afford them. These bikes changed their lives. These bikes helped them to get to school, to access education. And I just want to tell you, Church, we were able to hand out 111 bikes in Cambodia. There was a lady staying at the hotel, and our bus drivers were absolutely incredible. We were there serving their people, and they were just serving us. They were awesome. And this lady was asking one of the bus drivers, what are you guys doing? And, you know, what's going on with all these people from Australia? And so he was telling her that was the day that we were going to the school to hand out the bike. So he's telling her about this. And she just got so excited. She was like, can my son get one of those bikes? And so he came over and he spoke to me. And this lady, you have to understand, she cannot afford to buy her son a bike. And just the thought of the possibility of us getting him a bike was just overwhelming for her. She was holding my arm and I could feel her trembling and shaking and just going, can you get my son a bike? It was just so beautiful. Of course, we got her son a bike. We contacted the pastor handling the bikes and we said to him, we have a lady, her son needs a bike. He organized it to get delivered to her house. She's now in contact with that Cambodian pastor. How cool is that? She brought her son in to thank us. Poor kid. She just brings him in and kind of dumps him next to me and disappears. And I'm like, this poor kid. I'm like this strange Australian person. And he's just like left with me. But it was lovely. He was so appreciative. And it was just beautiful to see. And a big shout out to Al. I don't know if you're here tonight, Al, but for doing the ride. Yeah, there he is. Thank you for doing the ride, Al, to raise the money. And thank you to everyone who contributed. We couldn't do it without you. And massive thanks and appreciation come back to you from Cambodia. So that was so cool. We heard about a village that was not far from where we were doing our project. And for those of you who were at Summit, you would have met Somalie. And it was actually her village. And this village had a school that when they get a lot of rain in Cambodia, like sometimes we have our rainy times, and the school just gets flooded. The kids can't go to school. They can't access the school. And so we organized for a whole heap of soil to go into the school and get pushed out so that when it rains now, the school doesn't get flooded. The kids can still go to school, which was pretty, pretty cool. While we were out visiting the hospital, we dropped off some supplies to them again, and they sent big thanks and regards to everyone here. It was awesome. We just thought we were so close to our project from last year. We popped in to see how the road was going, and it's just looking great. All the teachers and the principal come out, and they're like, check out the volleyball court. The sand's still there. It's still working. It's still going great, and yeah, the road's looking good, and you know, they're talking, and then they try to give us our next 3 years' worth of projects, so that was quite funny. But our main project this year was actually painting a small school. And I'm so proud of Piram for even getting the school built. For him, this was just a massive, massive achievement. And so we were able to help him reach his community. So we painted the school, and then he asked for us to paint pictures on the school for him. And on the second day of the project, I was just chatting with him, and we're talking about how things are going. And I said to him, Piram, are you happy? Are you happy with, you know, what we're doing and how it's going and how it looks and all this? He said, I'm so happy. I'm so happy, you know. Last night, I just cried. Oh, I know, right? And this is like, we just take paint and we paint, but for them, they can't afford to do it. And so this is just changing his community that he can now reach out into with the school. And we're just literally being the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's such an honor to go and represent you guys in Cambodia. So thank you for supporting us in everything that we do. We're going to hear from the team, but Pastor Joe is going to share a little bit with us about youth training that we did in Cambodia this year, which was the first time that we did it. So thanks, Pastor Joe.
Thank you, yes. And it was awesome. Another shout out for Al. Let's just give Al another round of applause. Yeah. It's not about that. Al would know, obviously. But still, what a legend, hey. And for all of you that I saw crying because Steve Wilkins is leaving, he's not leaving the church. He's moving into another ministry in our church, which is really cool. So I just saw some people crying when you said that. Oh my gosh, Steve. And Super Steve, come on. All right. So first of all, we're gonna go through a whole lot of different areas of our mission trip from this year. And the first part is going to be lots of testimonies about kids and the amazing encounters that some of them have with God. And to kickstart that, we did a youth training. It was our first time, and it was interesting, to say the least. We thought we were training youth leaders, and that was our brief. We show up, and there is hundreds of youth, and I ask the question, hands up if you're a youth pastor or a youth leader, and it's about five hands that went up. I'm like, let's go, Cambodia, no problem, Rob's got it. That's our motto, pretty much that's it, no problem, Rob's got it, and it's okay, Rob was praying for me, so we still had it. And however, you know, it was really awesome. Obviously, you know, did a little bit of youth here over a few years, and so had enough to talk about, thankfully, to a whole lot of young people that were so hungry to see their generation come to know Jesus. And it was super exciting. And so we went through a whole lot of content, and you could see just a posture of leaning in and just wide eyes, and but you could see the cogs starting to turn inside their brains, and they're like, ooh, and just, I believe God used us at that youth training afternoon to really inspire them with what they can do, what they can achieve, and so we're praying and believing we can really go back and double down on that very demographic, and I think that was really cool, but not just the young people, all the pastors, just chilling up the back at the start, but as the afternoon went on, they started also leaning in, and you could see them starting to like their eyes light up, and like, ooh, okay, yeah, this is, we need to do this, we need to invest in this, and at the end of the trip, the head pastor chatted to me over breakfast, and he said, so Pastor Joe, that's our next thing. We've got to do youth ministry. We've got to do it well. And so I know already Pastor Mark and Nikki and the team are already planning about what we could do next year and how we could really invest into that demographic, because if you know a little bit about Cambodia, a whole generation that really, really struggled, and the young people now, it's their opportunity to rise up and really impact their country for good. So that's super exciting, and we're going to be praying into what we can do next year around that. But we're going to have, first up, Laura, Caleb, Victoria, and Wendy share about some testimonies and some stories of some moments with kids on the trip. So, Laura, why don't you start and take us away?
Yes. So, my favourite part was the kids, because they're just literally full of joy. Like, you're there to go and love on them and serve them, but they're there and they just love you even more, like, than what you could love them. And I think that was the biggest thing that kind of was highlighted to me, was their joy and hope that was just so different to what you see here. Like, I work with children, I've been through youth ministry, I've seen what children and young people go through and their attitude, and not to discount anything, but it's so different. Yeah. Like, their joy over there when they have nothing is just amazing to see, and so, like, almost like convicting for yourself as well. And it's different to what you see here. Like, we're given so much here, even the ones that go through so much, we're still given so much, and yet over there, their joy is so much more than what we have, which was really cool to see. And then also, I just have a story to share about Rachel. She's not here tonight, sadly, but she did an incredible job as well over in Cambodia. And when we were handing out invites to the concert for Sunday night, we're walking around the market, like, square area, and one of the ladies or girls that we saw along the way, they're like, oh, you're from Australia. And they're like, we're like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, you always come back. Like, you always come back. We see you every single year. And she knew Rob and Amy from previous years as well. And just knowing that, like, this was our first time, mine and Rachel's, and seeing that and knowing that, like, that relationship we've built over years is just incredible.
So, for me, the highlight of the trip was after visiting both a primary school and a high school. So, at the primary school, when the kids got off for break time, they came out and were starting to play with us, like, just straight away. They didn't even hesitate, no holding back. They were just straight out, straight into our arms, playing around with us, just, like, so much faith in us from the very beginning, just someone new, someone, like, that they haven't seen before. And then, yeah, so, at the high school, it was just the complete opposite, though. Obviously, there's a language barrier, and they can't understand us, and they were just so, like, reluctant to engage. But after playing a little game with them and just kind of breaking that ice, they really opened up, and then there was just that same faith. And what God showed me through that was to return to that, like, childlike faith. to once again, like, to just trust in Him, to like soften your heart again, and to turn back to Him and just give it all to Him again. So that was for me.
The kids as well. That was just so beautiful. I want one. Was before school, they were with us, playing with us, hanging with us, and the only reason they ran back is because the teacher was getting them in trouble. And then after school, the first thing they did was run back to us, and it was just so powerful because as little, I was handing out little hair clips, and as little as a hair clip was literally like a massive thing. It was like, to them, insane. It was like they received a new car. It was awesome for them, but it was just something to put in your hair. And it was just so, it really stuck out that back here, we don't appreciate the little things we have. We don't appreciate that we can just get a dollar chalky bar, which is now $1.25, from Woolworths and enjoy it. We like are complaining that it's now $1.25. So I think it's, what really stuck out was just taking in the little things in life, the little things. Coffee you can get in your morning, and like the friends you have, as something truly that God has given you that other people don't actually have access to.
Everywhere we went, there were children. Didn't matter what we did, there were children everywhere. It's amazing that generation is just ready to lead. Mm. And every age was reached. And I think the most wonderful thing was that every team member of any age had something to offer. You had the young and gorgeous and the fun and the sporty to play ball with, and then you had the motherly, beautiful, and you had the grandparently like Alex. He gave me permission. Seriously. Every team member had something to offer, and you would see the little ones just come to what they needed, to who they needed to see, and just be ministered to. And that's really, really precious. There was one point where the Holy Spirit led us to be at the governor's house, his own house, with all his family, having a dinner. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is amazing. Mm. And in the midst of all this, at the governor's house, we have all the young and beautiful and the music team doing karaoke with all the teenagers. And then all the little ones, the little toddlers, out dancing in the circle and having an absolute ball. And they loved it. And the thing with that is to give a child a core memory that may influence them for life. Mm. And I believe that there were lots of moments like that.
Yeah.
And I remember moments like that in my childhood. Yeah. So it's really important. And a little bit of an aside, Deb had a miraculous healing of her leg. She almost couldn't come on the mission. That lady danced for hours with hours. praise God, and to God be the glory.
So good. Thank you so much, guys. We're going to move over to our project now. And as you know, we painted a school and painted beautiful Bible pictures on the front of the school. And the pastor asked us to do that because he knows that these attractive pictures on the front of the school, the kids are going to go, what's that? What's that about? What's that story? And he can share the Bible with them from them asking about those pictures. He just thinks kingdom. Everything he thinks is kingdom. It's so, so beautiful. But a big shout out to Amy because she oversaw our painting project. And it was months of preparation. We're not talking, we didn't just turn up there and she went, I'll just draw this, and then we painted it. This was months of preparation and a lot of work and prayer and conversations. So, Amy, can you just start us off by sharing about the vision that God gave you and how that all worked for you overseeing this project? Thanks.
But even from, talking to Nikki way way back when we first introduced the trip, I had absolutely nothing in my head, which is very rare. I had no pictures, nothing. It just felt empty. And so with a lot of prayer and a lot of prayer from my family as well, and doing sketch after sketch and painting after painting, eventually I finally ended up with all the pictures that we ended up using for the school. And it was so wild just how different these pictures were to everything that I've ever drawn or painted before. Wow. It's nothing like what I've ever made before. And even putting them on the walls at the school, they came out looking quite different from the original sketches that I had, and very different from what I'd thought in my head. And at the end of the day, when I looked at them, I realised it's because not one brushstroke that I did was by my hand. Every brushstroke was just the Holy Spirit moving through me. I did not paint those walls. Yeah. I did not make those pictures. I didn't paint those walls. It was all the Holy Spirit. So it was. It was just an incredible experience.
So, every year I'll, so for me, my first year to Cambodia was 2014, and with the exception of COVID, I've been there every year. So, the realisation for me, this was 10 years.
Yeah.
And you get a sense of perspective with 10 years. And when we went back to Oambol High School, that was where our first project was. There was just this sense of seeing stuff getting built upon what we'd already built. And that is amazing, because that school at Oambol, when we first went there because they didn't have working toilets.
That's right, yes.
That's how poor that school, that was the school that you went to when you didn't have enough money to go to school.
Wow.
And now that school has multi-story buildings because people took notice of the things that we were doing and that God had shone a light on that school. And all of a sudden, they've got the facilities. It's become the school.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see all the different things that started off really small, maybe painting a building and making it look a bit pretty, but now has gained momentum. That project is actually, that school is actually growing on its own momentum. It's not shrinking back and dying.
Yeah.
So seeing that was just amazing. And just getting that sense of perspective. So whenever you do anything like that, never ever discount how a seed will grow.
Right.
The second thing I was asked to share of, and trying to get through this without getting a little emotional, is a bit difficult. But for me, I know that I can go to just about anywhere and I'll hold my own. Taking my kids, I can, I'll let my kids just sort of make their own way. I'll watch them, but I'm not going to baby them. And so they've got to stand on their own two feet. And so you're always sort of worried that, geez, are they going to feel like they're just, not living up to whatever. So sometimes that can sort of feel like I get stressed out. But seeing on this trip in particular, there was just, and you normally see different team members shine at different points throughout a mission trip, and I always love seeing that. But just seeing my daughter this time really shine, I don't think anybody's going to really sort of take away from that. That school event and that creativity and the being able to adapt, because let me tell you, there is no art shop.
Yeah.
There is a hardware shop. And there's about a half a dozen different oil-based paints, and you don't have turpentine to wash your brushes out. You're washing them out in petrol. It's really raw stuff. And so to actually come up with the colours like that and everything, seeing my daughter shine, and let me tell you too, it was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was hot, hot. And so without fading at all and just pushing through and doing the long day was just amazing for me to see. So, yeah.
I think all our dads do amazing jobs, don't they?
Yes.
Yes. Love our dads. We're going to talk about Sunday services next, another part of our mission trip. I hope you're already starting to capture that whoever you are, whoever you might be, whatever skills you might have. yeah, there it is. We'll get to that picture in a second. You can be a part of a mission trip. Whatever you've got to give, whatever you enjoy doing, I hope you've already seen just from the few stories and testimonies that God can work in you and through you, and he can use you to do something powerful, and it's a great impact that we have over there. Thankfully, me wearing a towel wasn't because my luggage got lost like it did last year, that I never got back. This time, it just got lost for 48 hours, so for the first preach at the school with the bikes, I had to borrow my younger brother's shirt, which didn't fit. It was gross. I was in the same outfit for 48 hours. I didn't borrow underwear, so that was praise God. This is Jamoan. Samoan Joe. Look, we're at church, and preach, and had Jordan and Wendy with me at this particular church. That's just fantastic. We got to preach, we had interpreters, we were able to be a massive blessing in this church. And one older lady came as a new person, and she was amazing. She was loving being in church, and then gave her heart to the Lord at the end of the service, which was just fantastic. And then I find out that they're doing baptisms, and four people wanted to get baptized. I'm like, oh, wow, this is so cool. So, you know, they were like trying to honor us, and oh, okay, we'll take you back to the hotel now. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, we got plenty of time, we don't have to be back anywhere. Can we come? We'd love to just come and pray and just be a part of this. Would that be okay? And they're like, oh, yeah, come along. And so we jump in the van and off we go, and we get there. And the pastor goes, oh, pastor, can you help with the baptisms? I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, no problem. And I'm like, I don't really have anything. Oh, that's okay, we got a towel. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, put my towel on, and thank you, Jordan, for helping me discreetly change. And we get down to the edge of the bank, and then he's like, oh, pastor, you share. I'm like, oh, okay. And I knew what was up. I was getting ready, so I had the Bible in Matthew chapter 3 and shared about Jesus' baptism, and then we worshipped on the bank, and we prayed, and there it is in action, Pastor Jamon. And then he's like, oh, okay, now you go baptize him. I'm like, okay. So basically this pastor is like, sweet. I'll just hand the whole thing over to the guest pastor. And so I'm like trudging in on these thongs that were way too small for me. Probably their biggest size. And I'm like wandering into this water. Now I'm convinced that everything, every pipe from every network goes into that river. And let's just say I did not put my head under. So I'm standing there, and he keeps going, he's like, further, further. I'm like, pastor, I'm a lot taller than most of you people. This is far enough. Like, they were almost treading water to come out to me. And anyways, four people turns into 12 people that wanted to get baptized, which is so awesome. And what was powerful, some older gentlemen, some older ladies, and then also some teenagers and some young adults. And I love that because it's a big deal in their culture to get baptized. Like, that's real deal. They're saying, you know what, we're becoming Christian. And we're being public about this. And it wasn't just like some young people who were brave. Like, there were some older people that they knew very well what could happen doing something like that. And so praise God for that. And that leads us to more Sunday service stories. And we've got Michael, Dean, and Joe who are going to share these ones.
Just to give you guys an idea of how remote we were, though, we're at a primary school, and they were terrified of me because I was the first person they'd ever seen with blue eyes. They thought I was like some sort of demon-y person. person. So that's how out of it we are. So when it came time for Sunday services, we had to obviously use interpreters because very few people spoke English. Michelle, Caleb and I were in our little team. Anyway, our team, we were sent off to a small congregation of about 40 to 50 people. Our interpreter, absolutely lovely, but struggled. So we had to continuously condense, repeat, rephrase. And it's not on her. Obviously, we are bogan Australians, so we barely speak English at the best of times. It's all the way through, we were struggling, which really hurts comedic timing, by the way, when you have to use an interpreter. And, however, the emotion still got across.
Yeah.
And the deeper we got, the harder it became. Caleb was up last. He did the actual message. And eventually it got down to like three or four words at a time. And extremely slow, very painful. However, there is a plot twist. The second salvation prayer came up. She interpreted it as if she spoke both English and Khmer fluently. It was one of the first things I noticed. I was like, oh, hang on, she hasn't stumbled once. And this went on for like a solid at least minute and a half, 2 minutes. And it was just fluent. To the point where I was like, I need to jot this down in my little journal. Because it was just phenomenal. There's no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit was like, all right, the rubber's hitting the road, team. Yeah. This is where we need to get every single word across, and it did, and it was just amazing to witness. So yeah, very much looking forward to next year and seeing what shenanigans we get up to.
That's right.
Hello, everybody. We went out to a small church. It probably ended up the main service was probably about 15 or so people. Our little team was myself, Laura, Victoria, and Rachel. And we went out there, and on the way out there, we picked up like a little convoy of cars, is what the church organization goes out into the area and runs services in the morning for people who can't get into the main city, because it's, you know, if it's 45 on a bus, it's going to be longer on a moped if you've got three people on it, or more people as actually possible. So we went out there, and The main service that we were in had about 15 people in it, and it had the full range. It had young people, it had young families, it had, you know, your mums and your dads, and then right up to seniors. And we sang songs that we didn't understand the words to, but everybody was singing, everyone clapping along, and it's just under a house in the sticks, literally in the sticks. Victoria and Rachel ran a kids' church, Sunday school outside, which had 45, 50 more? 70. I had it wrong. It's a lot of kids. And we heard some great stories about that. And we throughout our service, we could hear them singing, and, you know, 70 kids laughing is quite a sound when it's, you know, only a wall away. It was... a moving experience, and we were told a story that they, in the rainy season, sometimes the road is not drivable, but it's walkable, and it turns into about 2.5 hours, 3 hours one way to take all the songbooks and whatever equipment you're taking in with you, and then you've got to walk it back, and that probably wouldn't be the only service that they would do that day in this particular city, and that was confronting to hear. I'm not sure if you could catch me walking 3 hours to church. If I'm completely honest. So that was a confronting thing to hear, and something to bring back, especially when, you know, if you find yourself serving in church on a regular basis and you find out that someone is just that much more committed than you find yourself. And it's just for what we would think as a life group almost. But it's you know, the most important thing for them to do on the Sunday throughout the week.
Very good.
So I was at the kids' church of the church that had Pastor Joe and Jordan and Wendy. And finding out there was a kids' church beforehand was already a step above last year when we just walked in and it was kids. But so this year we'd actually planned, knowing that there was kids' church. We had a bit of a program. We'd run through some songs. They had their songs in Khmer, and then they wanted me to do some songs, so I sang this all out of mine. The only thing I had in my head at the moment. Then we had some games. We did some testimonies, and Wendy shared a really good testimony about putting broken things back together and how God takes what was broken and puts it together and makes it more beautiful. And then we read through Pastor Nikki's book, and then that was it. I was out of stuff to do, and we still had 20 minutes to go. And I was like, we had some food, so I knew I had a little bit of time there, but not 20 minutes worth. And so I thought the best thing I can do to show the joy of the Lord is just let's do a praise party. Wendy had brought a speaker with her, and so we just went back to some old Hillsong sort of songs, some things that I could make up actions to on the spot, just to keep them entertained. At the start of the third, like the first song, we did three. At the start of the first song, there were some older girls, and they didn't really seem to be into it very much. They kind of just, they were just sitting in the back, kind of just watching. And the longer we went on, they kind of started to realize that they could actually have fun. They could actually get involved, and it didn't just have to be for the little kids. It could be for them too. And they ended up, at the end of the song, I'd say they were the most joyful. They were the ones who were going all out. And as Pastor Joe had said, then we went to go for water baptisms after church. There were four people who were supposed to go. And of the 12 people who went, seven of them were children. They hadn't planned on going beforehand, but it was so special, and I was so blessed to be able to watch them make that decision and actually choose Jesus when they're so young. The other thing that I wanted to share was last year I met these two girls just walking around in the square. They were just local girls, and we spent a year just texting each other, "I miss you," maybe sending each other a photo here and there, and that was it. But I knew that I had to see them again, that this is a connection that I couldn't bear to lose. And in the end, I could only see them for a very short amount of time. At the time, like, the timelines just didn't match up quite. But it was so special seeing them realize that we cared enough to come back for them and actually get to see them. And we got to bless them with some gifts and some money and that sort of stuff. And it was just so special to watch them understand that these random people in Australia actually cared about them enough to come back and enough to want to do something in their lives.
Right.
So good, so good. Beautiful stories. And next we're going to hear from a few people who've been to Cambodia before and they returned. And obviously relationships form over the years and stuff. This year we actually had bus drivers who were new. We hadn't met them before for different reasons. We couldn't have our normal bus drivers. But these guys were absolutely amazing. But they were so incredibly touched that this group came and they watched how we just loved on their people, and they were so moved by that. They said, "But you get nothing in return." They were absolutely amazed, and they watched and they watched and they watched, and they heard the gospel time and time again because they drove us everywhere, so they had to. They prayed with us, but they were just so incredibly impacted. And Alex is going to kick us off with this next group who are going to talk, but he formed a beautiful friendship with one of these bus drivers, and he has formed some amazing friendships over the years, but there was a scenario where this new friendship and an old friendship of his just collided into a beautiful testimony, which he's going to start us off with tonight. Thanks, Alex.
Well, first of all, this has to be quick because I've only got 2 minutes. If you want a traditional and also, because I'm a senior and I'm a grandfather, I've written mine down for the first time ever. So otherwise, I'd go on for half an hour. This was a wedding present 44 years ago. You can't see what it says, but I'll read what it says. So this has helped to frame and form my life. It's the best wedding present that I ever got. Love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love is not love till you give it away. This was my sixth mission trip to Cambodia, and I hope it becomes evident why I keep going. I have a few moments to explain the magnitude of what this trip's experience means to me. I want to touch on two friendships, one new one and one old one. The bus driver, Mr. Powell. Well, there was two bus drivers, Mr. Powell and Mr. Com, and I'd met, they call me Mr. Alex, so I called them Mr. Powell and Mr. Com back. They were incredible. They both went out of their way to care for the team. Nothing was too much trouble for them. I ended up going with Mr. I already knew Mr. Powell because he sells art, and I bought some pieces off him last year and this year. But I ended up going with Mr. Com most of the time, and he was only too happy to share his knowledge with any questions I had about Cambodia. One thing that was very helpful was his interpreting skills, which were excellent. We got on really well, and within no time, he felt like a lifelong friend. It hurt to leave them. Part of my heart is there. The second person, Mr. Hua. Mr. Hua is the nighttime security guard at the Pyramid Hotel where we stayed in Sisyphon. I met him on my first trip in 2016. We were always very happy to see each other on each trip, but they're sad when I had to go home again. We try and communicate on Messenger, but yeah, it was almost impossible. And sometimes he'd ring me, "Oh, Alec, I missed you, I love you. When do you come back?" And that was the total conversation. I would go out and sit with him at night, as I would do on each trip. It was difficult to communicate, so we had a basic and limited understanding of each other. Enter Mr. Com. Just on a side thing with Mr. Com, I know I haven't got much time, but my saying was moi moi tom tom. So moi is one and tom tom is big big. So I'd go one number one, you know, big big, meaning that I'm prosperous because I've got weight on. But anyhow, what I didn't know, when I said moi moi to him, oh, that means step by step. We walk together step by step. So how significant was that? How beautiful is that? Enter Mr. Com. The nights I would go and talk to Mr. Hua, Mr. Com would come and join in because he wanted to interpret for me. I was so happy we both got to share a lot of life's experiences. And, you know, things he didn't know about me, my past, my family, you know, my church, whatever. And then, you know, his life, his past, his family. He was Buddhist, but very accepting of what I had to offer. On the last Saturday night in Sisyphon, I had the opportunity to go to Mr. Hua's village and meet his family. He wanted to take me out there a number of years ago, but I wasn't going to go out into the, like, Vietnam War movie type villages on the back of a moped with no lights on the road and cars coming at you at 100 miles an hour. So Mr. Hua's village and meet his family and neighbours. Mr. Com had arranged to take me, interpret for me. I had a very meaningful time and was able to share God's love to him and his family. His brothers were there, his nephews were there, his wife, his wife's mother, all the neighbours, all the kids. They loved me. It was very humbling. The love and acceptance I received back, I gave them love. And the love and acceptance I received back warmed my heart. To give and to receive love is a beautiful gift. I then asked Mr. Com to explain to them how they felt about me visiting, because I was quite curious about that. How they felt about me visiting them. They said that Mr. Hua was held in high esteem and respected more because he had a foreigner as a friend, and that foreigner came to visit the village. I really thank God for this opportunity. I believe it was a God thing, because he'd been sick this last week. It almost looked like he was going to pass away, but he's been very sick, and I offered him my prayers to my God, and he accepted them. And I thank God for this opportunity in my life. This is very personal to me, but one of the last things he said to me was, "Nothing could compare to the generosity and love I have shown him and his family." A little time after my wife Donna passed away, I had an experience of God's love. And all I can say is nothing in this world comes close to God's perfect love.
Well, church, I think we're setting a bit of a theme here with this Cambodia trip, and it's evident and great as a confirmation, because the Holy Spirit's also put it heavily on my heart to speak about the level of consistency when we talk about the love in Cambodia. And being a return trip this time for me gave me a great look at that, to see the first time you're taking a lot in, the culture, as well as obviously where you fit as a vessel for God to be used in that place. But going back this time and seeing the team, like riding shotgun to Alex's experience, where an 8-year friendship, was unlocked by the use of a non-Christian cab driver that God put in the path for this trip. You know, we watched cab drivers go from glorified drivers to wanting to inject themselves into our team to love on their people. Because they got to see the love that we poured out. I not only got to watch this team pour love out this trip and last trip, I watched them pour love out on me. So I experienced loss while I was in Cambodia and had to take an afternoon off in my hotel room. And I came out and people on this team had put food and drink on my door. They made sure that before they went out on their activity that afternoon that I was taken care of. And some of the team later took me out to a fair. Pastor Joe even, sorry to throw you on the bus, man, but he took it upon himself to conquer his fear of heights and jump on a Ferris wheel with me just to try and lift my mood to show love to me. But what I'm getting at, church, is for me this year, I got to see love legacy from Emerge Church built in Cambodia. And it's not just the teams that continue to return year after year. It's every donation through the missions tithes. Yep. It's every encouraging word. It's every opportunity to go out and do something here. It's every rice bag donated for. It's every effort, every bike ride, every kilometre, Alan. It is all seeds in that place, okay? And it's been not just this trip and the things that we've prepared for this trip, but this year I got to see 11 years of love come to fruition in one trip. So can I encourage you, church, if you haven't, get involved. Place yourself as a vessel for the Lord and just be blown away with the things that He will do through you. And the things that you will see Him do in the people that you attend this congregation with. It will build an incredibly strong church and an incredibly strong partnership with the people in Cambodia. So God bless you. That was my 2024.
Hi, church. So this is also my second trip to Cambodia. This trip around, it definitely felt really different, and we had a little bit of time at the start of the trip to just rest instead of normally it's at the back of the trip, but we had a little bit of time at the start, a little bit of time at the end, and I feel like, you know, sometimes those things happen because it's God ordained, and everyone on the team, we were just able to witness connections with people, local people. Amy with, you know, some of the shopkeepers, she went back there. Joe with Neon, Alex, Jordan with Powell, Dean and Laura, it's their first trip, just the smiles on their faces as they're just loving just being in this city. It was just incredible seeing how much connection all of our team had with people that we just randomly encountered. The biggest thing for me was we were meant to go to, on like the second day, a museum that was like the rat museum, the rat landmine museum, where like rats go and find landmines. And we got on this tuk-tuk and like 15 minutes down the road, we're like, where are we going? And, you know, it was only 10 minutes away, this place, 40 minutes down the road. We're like, oh, okay. He took us to the landmine museum, which is... And he told us, no, this is the one that you want to go to. And we made a connection with the driver there as well. We saw him again later on in the trip. And it was the most incredible experience. This guy at the Landmine Museum, his name's Akira, started the Landmine Museum in 1997. He was a child in the Pol Pot regime. And at 10 was forced to train and learn how to lay landmines to kill Cambodians. And he did that and then defected. He was forced to defect. Otherwise, he would have died. His stories were incredible. And he was saved by the grace of God, I honestly believe. And for Vietnam, he did the same thing. So he defected to Vietnam and laid these landmines for them. And it was just incredibly moving, just being in that place. And I really felt the Holy Spirit as he spoke. And so at the end, I felt we prayed for him, felt to pray for him. And just the light up of his in his eyes when he just looked up and was like, pray? Yes. You know, 1997, he'd started this museum. He's been all over the world telling people, you know, that there's 3 million landmines still under in Cambodia's soil. They're still hand-picking them out. People die. His crew have died in the last 3 months while we were there. You know, and just seeing that spark in his eyes when we're like, Jesus is in your heart. Like, these things don't happen to people who have just, you know, they haven't, you know, encountered something different. And I just, like, I can't really describe it, but I guess the verse that comes to mind is, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And I think sometimes we just, when we see that, we just need to call it out and pray for that. Right. And he ran up after us and gave us his cards, and we were just like, we're going to be back, you know. And it's those little things that you experience that just changes your life. So yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. Very good.
I was going to be speaking about some reconnections, but I changed it last minute. I just wanted to share a particular moment at the drug rehabilitation centre. I took my 19-year-old granddaughter, and unfortunately she couldn't come tonight. She had some bad news this morning, but she was bringing down a car full of kids from Toowoomba for this evening. But Zoe, she really shone as well, and it was beautiful seeing that. But when we walked into the drug rehab, I had been there in 2019. It's my fourth trip to Cambodia. In 2019, I took my 13-year-old grandson, and there was like a big blanket of oppression over the place as we walked into the place. And my grandson sort of cuddled up to me for protection. It was quite scary, the first encounter there. But then when the team started playing, it was like the oppression lifted, and the next thing we had this massive deluge of rain came down. And so we actually had to get under the shelter with the inmates, and we were able to share praise and worship with them. But this time it wasn't as bad, which is a testimony. The atmosphere wasn't as bad, which is a testimony to Pastor Chin's work in that place. But however, Zoe was completely impacted, and all she wanted to do, she didn't like the fact that we were over to the side sitting with the governor. She just wanted to be there with them. Minnie would want to shy away. She wanted to be there. And she was just... You could tell that she just wanted to go in and love on them and pray. And she was just standing there. And I, as a grandmother, I'm looking over, and she was just overwhelmed with love for these people, particularly the girls that they were around her age. And so I just knew that if I went over to comfort her as I wanted to do, that there'd be another deluge, but it would be my tears. So I had to have girls comfort me. I just said, all she wants to do is get close to these people. But so that was amazing. But the other thing was, we had 4 days less than everyone else because we were in team two. So we didn't have the relationship building amongst the team so much. But there was just one person in the team that I bonded with, and we had been to the Planet Shakers the week before, and a guy got up and had a miracle in his life, and I'm bawling my eyes out, and I was just felt this connection. And then later on someone said, he's from our church. And then I found out he was in our Cambodian team. And he was just so amazing, Michael. And yeah, so, you know, there was times he carried my bag and there was times he helped me down the stairs, and it was just a real blessing. You rock, Michael.
So good. Our last stories for tonight are from Jess and I about the concert. So most of the trip builds up through the evangelism at all of the schools, through all the projects, through the churches, and also every night down in the main town square, handing out flyers and playing basketball and sport. And this year we rode all these cool electric scooters and stuff and had lots of fun just to build a relationship with the locals and invite them to come along to the concert. And this concert was massive. I reckon it would have been, I don't know, Nikki, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe our biggest. And God is doing something amazing in that town. And the assistant governor came this time, and a new one. I met another one the other time. And this guy gets up to do his speech and he goes, I'm Muslim. And I don't like this, but the governor likes this, so here we are. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got to get up and preach about that. So I was like, all right, well, he said his piece, now it's my turn. I am Christian, and I became a Christian when I was 10 years old and shared all of the fundamentals and the foundation of being Christian. And it was awesome seeing him leaning in, seeing all of the police leaning in, and just the entire community leaning in, hearing about the gospel message of Jesus. And I know that there would have been so many stories from that night to come out of that, and just encouraging them to get connected to one of the local churches. There's great churches there, and that was our whole mission, was to see them impacted with Jesus and then to get them connected in to the local church. And so we're going to hear Jess's version. There it is. That's one of the pictures. Very cool.
How you doing, church? Are you feeling inspired, encouraged? It's so, so exciting with all of these stories I've been hearing as well. I want to highlight the worship team that we got to be singing and playing with. We only had myself, Michelle, and Joe as three singers, and then the rest of them were all Cambodian musicians. And but they were unbelievably talented. It was like a million little Keith Govers running around. I didn't understand. Like, I was just like, "You're, I'm not even needed here. I don't even need to be there," because they were just unbelievably talented, and they had such a heart of worship. And I love that, despite the language barrier, there was such unity in the worship. We were able to travel around to all of the locations. We had like a handful of songs that we just continued to do. But each time we was just getting stronger and stronger in our unity in our worship, even to the point that one of the pastor's meetings that we had a worship set for, we had a moment where I helped prepare them. I was like, if I start singing words that aren't the lyrics, just play again, like that, like teaching them about free worship. And they were just like, what do we do? And it was such a powerful moment of them understanding that there's different dimensions of our worship that we can go to. Each worship session was so exciting and fun because the joy of the Lord was there. And my prayer was that people would just feel Jesus. That's all I wanted. And because he loves the people of Cambodia, he really does. And to join with the team there was definitely a highlight of my time as a worship leader in total. It was unbelievable. A separate highlight that I just want to speak about is one of a sweet little woman that I had the honor of preaching at. A minor backstory: in the weeks leading up to the trip, I had prepared a few thoughts and ideas of what, like, maybe God wanted to speak about. I was praying about it, but I really felt the Lord wanted to solidify the preach when I got there after being exposed to the culture a little bit. However, after being a few days into the culture and just seeing what these people go through and their journeys, I just had this moment of like, I have no similarities to these people. I have nothing in common. I have a roof over my head. I have access to 3 meals a day. I have, most importantly, the good news of Jesus. What do I have that, what could I possibly have that is of worth of saying anything to them? I just had this massive, massive moment of just talking to Pastor Nikki about it and just crying my eyes out, just like, I have nothing to say. I can't do anything that would help these people remotely with their everyday circumstance. And I think God needed me to feel these feelings and have exposure to the country because I needed to get out of my own head and realize I wasn't saying anything. It was actually going to be totally the Holy Spirit, and he was going to influence the the preach and the message, and he did. I had to rely on God because his thoughts and ways are always higher, church. We know that. That's who he is. It's in his nature. So after, you know, our late night chats, getting foot massages, it was wonderful. I helped solidify the message, and I preached on, in summary, if you want the light of Jesus to shine through you properly, you can't have any blockage of that light. So we've got to remove the blockages, which could be pain, bitterness, unforgiveness, etc. And essentially, so like we can have healing of the past pain to accurately display Jesus in the culture that they have especially. And at the end of the message, I prayed collectively over everyone, but I felt to pray one-on-one. And I had the honor. Sorry, guys, I'm an empath. I'm a big girl with big feelings. I didn't know who I was praying for. I had a lot of, all the only people that we met when Rob and I got to the church was the pastor and the interpreter. So I didn't know who I was praying for. But everyone, one by one, came up. And I was able to pray over, I didn't know it at the time, but the pastor's wife. And he had some very strong encouragements and of removing trauma and removing past traumas of like her childhood. And that was a big step of faith for me to even speak that over anyone, let alone the pastor's wife, because that's someone of very high authority. And so I was just trying to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, but within realizing after we had sat down, she came up to share a bit of a testimony, and she had shared later of how God, she felt God was removing pain from her heart, and how she did have severe, like she acknowledged, yes, I had severe trauma growing up. And if you know anything of Cambodian history, it is immense. I encourage you to read about it, find out about it, about the killing caves. It's unreal. And so God had his way in that moment, and he had his way in so many other moments. But that for me was just thank you, God, for speaking and just doing what you do best. And I have to acknowledge that his ways are higher every single time. So I really encourage you. This is a trip to go on. This is an excellent thing to do, because you come back and you're blessed. You think that you're like, we're just giving out in the physical, but man, I am so blessed. I'm changed forever from that trip. So all glory to God.
Amen. Amen. We're going to close off the night now. And so first of all, can we thank the team as they go back down and join you all? You know, some of them mentioned it, that they represent Emerge, but they also represent Jesus. You know, God was exalted, Jesus was exalted, and we're so thankful that he uses us, and that he uses us to do awesome good stuff, not just here in North Brisbane, but all over the world as well, which is so, so cool. Maybe tonight you've thought, you know what, I could be a part of that. Thank you, Paul. Maybe I could be a part of a trip. And so we've got a table up the back of the room tonight where just an expression of interest. If you go, you know what, I want to find out more information, want to find out how much it costs, what I need to bring, what I need to prepare, maybe you want to be a part of the mission trip to Cambodia next year. Put your name down, and I know Pastor Nikki will get in contact with you and start that conversation. And I want to encourage you just with this one verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, verse 7, Jesus replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." So he's answering the apostles' request, "Oh, can the end happen now?" And I'm thankful that the end didn't happen then, because now I'm born and you're born, so I think you're all thankful too. But there's a whole lot of human beings that God wants, and he wants them in heaven. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And this is my encouragement for you tonight. This is like your ground zero. North Brisbane, where you go to uni, where you go to school, where you live, the street you're on, where you work. That for you, that's your Jerusalem. And then you might go, okay, well, what's my Judea? What's my Samaria? Well, this could be one of those ways. You contributing to the work that God has us doing, but also you might be able to jump on a team and start to serve in something. And then there's "and to the ends of the earth." And that's where you might feel inspired to go overseas. And you know what? Maybe even something is stirring in someone here tonight that it's not just for a mission trip, but it's for a mission to go and to do what God has asked you to do. I want to encourage you, we've got one life to live, let's live it and let's do what God has asked us to do. Maybe he's calling you to go somewhere permanently and serve God in the mission field. I want to inspire you. Take heed to that and know that just like God used all us in Cambodia, he'll use you too and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.